Turn with us to the book of Luke, the 4th chapter. The book of Luke, the 4th chapter. What an honor to be here today. Amen. The 4th chapter, the 16th verse. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day, everybody say this day. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Let me back up just to the 18th verse, and it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." We know this is coming forth from the book of Isaiah prophecy. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and set and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." And then he said in the 21st verse, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Psalms 118 and 24, you quoted it, brother. "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I want to bring, by the help of the Lord this morning, this thought to you. This is a great day for miracles. This is a great day for miracles. Can we lift our hands and love the Lord for his word this morning? The greatest miracle attributed to our lives is when God became man, that we might be redeemed from the curse of sin. Amen. St. John, the 1st chapter, the 1st verse said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Amen. The 14th verse of that passage said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. The greatest miracle of all this morning, amen, is the miracle that God made himself of no reputation and came in the form of flesh. And as the 14th verse of that 1st chapter of St. John said, he came in the form of flesh and, amen, took sin upon himself and, amen, and made a way of escape for you and I. If we do not escape sin this morning, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. And for Jesus Christ has made a way where there seemeth to be no way. I'm here to tell you, he's a God that has made a way this morning. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you would allow me to testify of the power of God in one's life, and when you're sold out to this gospel, and amen, if you allow me for just a few moments this morning, I would like to share with you, amen, some of the exploits and, amen, that we have seen and in the working of God. And I had just turned 73 years old, and yes, and amen, and, amen, and all that snow on my roof there, it's because I'm further north than you guys, and amen. But I'm here to tell you, amen, in these years that have passed by, and I have seen some of the most marvelous and, amen, things and miraculous divine interventions and, amen, that are written in the book of Acts, and amen, that we are writing another book of Acts today, because Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. Praise God. And I'm believing God this morning for a move of His Spirit in every individual life. And what I tell you and what I bring to you this morning is not hearsay. It's not something that just happened 2,000 years ago. But I want to bring to you this morning is that the Lord Jesus Christ is still on the throne. He has never lost a battle, praise God. But old friend, He is able to bind up your brokenhearted. He's able to set at liberty, amen, your bound soul this morning. He's able to give you, amen, deliverance this morning and fill you with the joy of the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ said there would be trouble, amen, in the child of God's life that you are going to face. There are going to be circumstances, as your pastor uttered this morning in teaching the Word of God. There are going to be circumstances that you will not have an answer for. Only He has an answer for it. There's going to be problems and situations that you're going to face as a child of God. Amen. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There's nothing. He said He was faithful in all manner. He was tried in all manner such as we, yet without sin. And friend, I tell you this morning, upon the authority of God's word, there's not one trial, amen, that is too difficult for our God. There's not one situation in your life too big and that God will not bring you through. We have an adversary. I said we have an adversary. If you haven't found that out, amen, then you haven't tried living for God yet. Come on. When you really get down to business and start living for God, you're going to find you're going to have some opposition. You're going to have some opposition. Amen. But greater is the trial, greater is the power of God. I said greater is the trial, greater is the power of God. Amen. Psalms 34:19 said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And amen. And some folks, and amen, that don't know how, amen, to hang the flesh in at dawn every morning in prayer. Amen. And they suffer every day because they don't know how to come under subjection to the divine purpose and the plan of God and hang this flesh in prayer, have problems and afflictions all day long. And all they do is walk around and blame God for it. Yeah. And they stop in the middle of that verse. And yes, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers out of them all. But the Lord will deliver you out of them all. There's nothing too difficult for our God. Praise God. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4:8 said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. The 16th verse said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Is renewed day by day. 17th verse of that passage said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment.
Oh.
I can't get free of this situation. We used to sing, when your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain and you have to get along on meager fare, just remember in His word how He fed the hungry bird. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Huh? And leave them there. Amen. You say, I got this problem. I got this problem. I tell you, it's weighing my shoulders down so heavy. You need to get that enemy off your shoulder and quit talking in your ear and put him under your feet where he belongs. Amen. Because God has given you the power. He's given you the Holy Ghost. He's given you His name. He's given you authority. Praise God. Amen. You don't have to take a back seat. You don't have to hang your head and say, I'm this poor, afflicted child of God. Let me tell you something. The child of God is not really afflicted. Amen. They're overcoming. Hallelujah. And He said, it's only for a moment. It's only for a moment.
Worth it for a moment. Because in the name of Jesus, every devil is going to flee. Amen. Every mountain is going to become a plateau. Amen. Every valley. Amen. I'm going to make it through it. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. He said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. Work and pay your bills. And he said, I got a bundle of switches to back me up. And if they're not big enough, I'll send you out and cut your own. Some of you knew my dad. We lost him in 2010 at 92 years old. Amen. He stood there and he said, Steve, my brother and I are 10 months apart, family planning. He and I are both the same age now. He'll be 74 in 15th of October. So he and I are both 73 right now. But I was on one side of Dad. This was about an hour and a half, 2 hours before he passed away. He said, pull me down to the foot of the bed. I had a sister-in-law. Married him oldest brother. She ran in the other room and she said, they're going to kill him. They're going to kill him. My sister, my oldest sister, Sister Blake, said, leave him alone. If Dad said do it, do it. We pulled him down to the end of the bed. He said, get a hold of me. He said, I'm going to stand up one more time. I'm going to stand up one more time. I got on one arm. Steve got on the other arm. And my dad sat there like that. But that strength, it takes time and endurance and battles and situations. He said, our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So when you've worked at it, praise God, the end result is you're going to be able to be an overcomer. Amen. 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 Let me take you back to the title of my message. This is a great day for miracles. I said, this is a great day for miracles.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. The 18th verse said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Yes.
Church, I'm here to tell you today that I'm not looking for temporal things. But I'm now look through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Woo! Hallelujah. I don't understand the moving of God in every way. I don't understand why he does some things and in one way and does another way in some way. I don't question God. All I say is, Lord, I'm along for the ride and I'm enjoying the ride. Praise God. Amen. You know, there's a saying that we used to say in our household and I brought my children up the same way. It's easier to live for God hard than to live for God easy. Huh? Amen. When you're putting everything. Oh, but you don't understand the battles that I'm going through. You don't understand what I'm dealing with. I've pastored for enough years and evangelized and been around and met a whole lot of folks that, amen, try to down-talk the miraculous divine intervention of God. But I'm here to tell you, amen, they've come too late to tell me that God is not a miracle-working God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Satan had to get permission from God before he could tempt Job. Huh? I said he had to get permission from God.
Yeah.
Man tell me, he said, I was teaching Bible lesson Sunday morning. He met me at the door afterwards and he said, Pastor, I need to talk to you about something. I said, well, you have to wait on. I'm greeting these people. I said, wait, just wait a little bit. So he waited until about everybody was gone. And then he said to me, you know, you talked about the devil was on your doorstep every morning. Your adversary was on your doorstep. He said, you know, the devil don't bother me like that. The devil don't bother me like that, like he does you. I said, I don't know. I said, are you sure you're where you ought to be? I told him, I said, I'm an old carpenter. I said, there's this place up on a hill out in the country there. It's got a grove of trees around it. And said, I've been driving by that place every day. And I said, And I said, I looked at it and I thought, boy, that'd be an excellent place to put a house up there amongst those trees. So I found out who owned that house and, or that property. And I found out and I talked to them. Finally, they agreed to sell it to me. So I made all, and I drove by it every day and looked at it and got out and walked across the ground and all that. Well, this, now the front of the house would face this direction and the sun would come up in the east. So I want the sun coming in the kitchen window, you know, and all this. And I had all the dreams for that property. He looked and he said, where are you going? I said, stick with me. I'm gonna take you somewhere. And so I found out what he wanted for it. I said, I went down and made a deal with the bank and bought that property. And I got the deed to it. And I said, you know what? The next day, I said, I got home sooner. Why? Because I had the deed to that property. I went straight home. I didn't drive by that property no more. He said, what you saying? I said, if the devil's got the deed to my life, why would he want to patronize me? Huh? If my adversary's got the deed to my life, if he's got me in his clutches and he owns me and I'm submissive to him, amen, why would he patronize me? Why would he bother me every day? But I said, you know why he's on my doorstep every morning? Because he don't have the deed to my life. I said, Jesus bought me at Calvary. He set me at liberty. He filled me with the Spirit. He took sin out of my life. Praise God. And I said, so you see, the devil don't bother property that belongs to him. What are you trying to say? I said, think of it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. Praise God. You know, sometimes things are self-inflicted. God told Satan, have you considered my servant Job? You know, you think for a minute that God's going to sick the devil on you when you just can't hardly make it anyway. No, devil's going to say, hey, you know, I'm going to come after some of those folks down there in Sparta. The Lord said, go ahead. I know what they're made of. I know their consecration. I know they've been to Calvary this morning. Amen. Go ahead. Go ahead. Knock yourself out, devil. Amen. But I know what they're made of. They've made their consecration and dedication sure and steadfast, and they're unmovable. Knock yourself out, devil, because you can't move them because they are founded in me. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We felt, the wife and I felt, amen, she spoke about it, the burden to start a church in the San Francisco Bay Area. We were approved by the district board. We arrived, and the battle began. Amen. That was in 1975 at Fort Worth General Conference. We were approved to start that. 1977, amen, the devil came at us. Amen. Driving down the expressway. Amen. 9:15 at night, pouring down, raining. Amen. A drunk got turned around on the freeway, traveling 55, 60 mile an hour and hit me head on. I took the steering column right through my sternum, broke my chin, my hands. Amen. My wife, amen, was down on the floorboard of that little Datsun B210. Amen. How she got down there, she was a bloody mess. And they were ready to pull the sheets over her. The engine was sitting in my lap. Amen. And there was not a bit of sound that was coming out of her. She was laying there unconscious. And then out of the back seat of my car, I heard a voice saying, Jesus, don't let my mom and daddy die. I won't have a mom and daddy. And it was my 5-year-old boy. You see, God called me to do a work. And the adversary, my adversary, was bound and determined he was going to stop me in my tracks. Amen. But you see him that, amen, California Highway Patrol, the ambulance came and everything else and hauled us away. And amen. And the California Highway Patrol said, something happened. He said, because we couldn't even get a pulse from your wife. We couldn't even get a pulse from her. We couldn't, by all indications, and your wife was deceased. And but I'm here to tell you that we serve a God that's on the throne. You say, what was that? That was just a little bump in the road. That was a little bump in the road. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers out of them all. I don't know what you might be going through this morning, but I'm here to tell you that, amen, that God seen us through. Amen. We bought our first building in 1978 in an impossible situation, and I can tell you about that for time will not permit, but that was a more of a miracle. In 1979, my wife ended up, and her sister Jenkins, and who just passed away 2 years ago this March, and her sister had heart trouble. Her brother's on the heart transplant list. Her dad died, and amen, had heart trouble. He was killed in an accident, but he had heart trouble beforehand. Her other two sisters have heart trouble. Amen. My wife ended up in emergency in doctor's hospital in San Leandro, California. Amen. The doctor said, "We're gonna lose her. We're gonna lose her." And said her heart is gonna just gonna blow up. And said we can't. We've given her intravenous and medication, but we can't slow her heart down. Said she's gonna lose it. But I'm here to tell you, amen, that was just a light bump in the road because the people of God gathered in the emergency room, amen, that evening and prayed, and all of a sudden, amen, the miraculous divine intervention, everything quieted down. The doctor said, "I don't know why, but something happened." Oh, there was prayer going on because, friend, amen, my God is a miracle working God. This is a day for a miracle. Every day is a day for a miracle when you're a child of God. Hallelujah. 1980, amen. Your adversary will fight you. He will come at you. I want to talk to your heart this morning. Amen. But you have a God. You have a Savior that is almighty, that cares about you, is concerned about you. Amen. Is concerned about you. Praise God. 1980, I took a 60-foot fall and a lick in the head that went right up through my temple. It knocked out my motor system. I wasn't able to stand. I wasn't able to talk plain. I was on a walker. I was just like jello. Amen. Doctor said, "You'll never work again. You'll never pastor again." They sent me to Michigan State University. I resigned the church that I was pastoring. Sent me to Michigan State University, where my parents were pastoring at the time. They tried every thing that they could try on me, and it didn't work. But in one moment's time, standing on the front sidewalk of my house, two missionaries came by to see me, laid hands on me in the name of Jesus Christ, and what the medical profession could not do, the great physician did. In one moment's time, I received strength in my ankle bones, my legs, and my speech cleared up, and I was able to go on. I took the church belt, and we had revival. We had revival. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers out of them all. You're going to have opposition, but greater is He that is within you, the power of the Holy Ghost. This is another day for a miracle. 1989. Amen. 1989. September the 21st. We stood there that day. My wife standing beside me. And the doctor said, 1989, September, said, I said, "Doctor, you said I've got cancer. But doctor, how bad is it really?" They took a tumor out of me that big, out of my back. Amen. Malignant melanoma. Said it already metastasized. It was already throughout my blood body. "Doctor, tell me." I thought I was big enough to handle it. He said, "Without surgery, chemotherapy and radiation," he said, "you won't be here 3 months from now. With that, you might make it 3 years. You might make it 3 years. The weight fell off of me. You wouldn't believe it. I was a bag of bones. When they told me, my wife collapsed beside me on the floor. My little daughter, took her to school. She looked up in my face and she said, Daddy, somebody had told her out of school. Shouldn't have told her, but they did. They said, she looked up in my eyes and she said, Daddy, is it true you're going to die in 3 months? I said, baby, Daddy's not going to die in 3 months. I said, Jesus has got it all in control. Amen. I stood in the doctor's, I stood in a service just a couple of weeks after that. Now, on my back, I won't show it to you, but on my back, I've got an incision about that long in the middle of my back. And Dr. Juris Bunkus, who's on the Who's Who list in the state of California, he said, it's called a question mark incision. He said, we took the tumor out, reached in, took the tumor out, and rotated the flap up in and pulled the bottom together. It's called a question mark incision. I stood in a meeting, and there was about, I don't know, 1,200 people there that night, house full of people. There was about 20 preachers on the platform there, and I was standing here behind the pulpit. I was sitting here, the second seat back. Preacher came out of the side room, never met the man from Adam, didn't know me at all. Came out of the side room, walked to the pulpit, opened the Bible, and started preaching the Word of God. In the middle of his preaching, he got down on the floor and in the center aisle. There was about four or five aisles in that church, big fan-shaped auditorium. He got down in the center aisle, and he's preaching away, going 90 miles an hour. Preaching the word, and the power of God was falling. All of a sudden, he just stops dead. Place quieted down, and he turned to the platform. He said, sir, I want to talk to you. The Holy Ghost wants to talk to you tonight. Several of the preachers on the platform looked and said, me? He said, no, you're the titan behind the pulpit there. I was about half hid behind the pulpit. I want to talk to you. He said, you don't know me, and I know you, but the Holy Ghost does. And the Holy Ghost told me to tell you this. There's a question mark in your life. And the doctor told me that that's a question mark incision. He said, there's a question mark in your life. Your days have been numbered. They've told you to get your house in order because you're not long for this world. He said, but the Holy Ghost is telling me to tell you tonight that if you will accept it, the healer's in the house. The healer's in the house. I lifted my hands to the Lord. And as weak as I was, I lifted my hands to the Lord, and it was like somebody poured warm water from the tip of my fingers down to the tip of my toes. All of a sudden, there was the Shekinah glory of God that moved through me. Praise God. I leaped over that, amen, bitch, ran around that church that I couldn't do otherwise. They sent me to Stanford University Melanoma Clinic. They took blood panels on me, sent me home, took blood panels again, brought me back, sent me home, brought me back. Finally, they said, you know, here's all the pathology reports before. Here's all the blood tests before. Amen. You had cancer. It was rampant in your body. It was in your bloodstream. Amen. And all that. But we cannot understand. There's not one sign of the cancer now. There's not one sign of the cancer. Amen. As far as we're concerned, amen, you can go home and come back in 6 months for another scan. That was in 1989. I'm here to tell you, amen, that God is still on the throne. Amen. This is just another day for a miracle, church. Another day. This is the day the Lord hath made. This is not just some any old day. This is the day the Lord hath made. 22 years I pastored that church and went through 3 building programs. We saw some of the most astounding things happen. Amen. We saw some of the most marvelous things happen. Amen. Some of you know you've been on Facebook. I got a little grandson. Amen. He's going to be nine years old the 4th of October. Amen. What, 5 years ago? Amen. In Children's Hospital. Amen. He had terminal cancer. They said it had already grown up in his body. And, amen. The cancer had him. Amen. They did not give him much hope. But I'm here to tell you today is another day for a miracle. Jensen, my grandson, he played soccer yesterday. He played softball or baseball when the baseball was going on. He's fixing to play basketball. Amen. He's healthy. He's alive.
alive. He's well. He has the Holy Ghost. He received the Holy Ghost on 9/11. Amen. He's baptized in Jesus' name. I'm here to tell you, you don't have a problem, one. When you have Jesus, you don't have a problem. When you get up in the morning, you need to say, this is a day for a miracle. Devil, get behind me. In Jesus' name. When you get up tomorrow morning, amen, don't hang your head. Amen. Don't look doubtful. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. This is another day for a miracle. How about it? Huh? You need the Holy Ghost today. Oh, this load of problems I'm carrying in my life. Preacher, Brother Bowen, you don't understand this load of problems that I'm carrying. You don't understand. I got problems with my family. I got problems at work. I got problems. It seems like every way I turn, I'm here to tell you, amen, tomorrow when you get up in the morning, it's going to be a brand new day, because what you're going to do today is you're going to turn it all over to Jesus. I said, because what you're going to do today is you're going to turn it all over to Jesus. Oh, my. You know, you don't have any problems. You really don't. He's in control. He's in control. He's in control. You didn't think I could step over like that, did you? Huh? Come here. Hey, this little girl right here. They sent me to Vietnam in November of 1964. I wasn't living for God. I spent 11 months and 29 days. In hell on earth. I came home. I was so messed up. My mind was so messed up. My heart was so messed up. I suffered injuries. I was bitter. I was full of strife and hate. I wanted to fight everybody I come in contact with, because they put something in me. She's 5 years younger than me. She saw something in me that I didn't see in myself, because she had the Holy Ghost. She was living for God. She was teaching Sunday school, working with the youth, singing special songs and working in the choir. Her daddy was an old-time apostolic preacher. Amen. She traveled with him when he wasn't pastoring. She saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. She started working with me. No, it wasn't boyfriend, girlfriend at that time, because her daddy wouldn't have let her come near me. I had a pastor that was a tail gunner in World War II. And that pastor, he didn't pull no punches. He prayed. He said he prayed in the tail gunner in position in that aircraft over Germany. God, if you get me out of here, I'll serve you. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. That pastor stood and looked at me toe to toe, eyeball to eyeball, and said, you can't live for God. And because of spiritual authority in my life, amen, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. 96th and Plymouth in Oakland, California, on the left-hand side of the church. I thought Jacob climbed ladders to heaven, but that night I climbed a ladder to a point of excitement that I'd never known before. They sent me back to Vietnam for another 8 months. But when I went back to Vietnam that day, every day I got a letter
from her. You can make it. I'm praying for you. Every message that was preached, she'd write it down and send that to me. Amen. She'd send that to me. Every day, she'd write me a letter. They'd have mail call. And the guys would say, "Hey, you're the only one who got any mail, and you got it all." And I'd have a stack of letters. But I'd go through them letters. I'd feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And she began to bring the Word of God to me. Why, she was just a kid. She's 5 years younger than me. But she had something in her. She believed in me. And she knew that God was able. I'm telling you what, this, we serve a miracle-working God. We serve a miracle. Listen, I told you, I don't want to just preach to you. I want to minister to you. I want to touch the strings of your heart this morning with the Word of God. Amen. God is not just a God of 2,000 years ago.
Right.
He's a God of today. Today.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
Today.
Right.
You know, I told you some miracles. And I could keep you here for the rest of the day and tell you some more miracles. I've been in Barnes Hospital with see there? I've been in Barnes Hospital with a heart attack. Bishop Haney sent a whole entourage of preachers up there under the pressure of Alton. Sent an entourage of preachers up there in intensive care in Barnes Hospital. They wheeled me in there with heart attack. But when they, after they run me through the test the next day and tried their best to confirm what the ticker tape said when I came in, and the head cardiologist, Jewish man, said to me when he released me, he said, "Here's the before, but here's the test now." I looked that man in the eye and I said to him, I said, "Here, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Is that right?" He said, "You're right." I said, "I believe in that one God." I said, "Did you hear what happened up in intensive care last night?" He said, "I heard about it." I said, "That's why I'm standing here today."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ah, this is just another day for miracles. Amen. Oh, no. I've been too far. I've done too much. No. God is here today.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is here today. Hey, would you like to step out and say, "I want to make a rededication and a consecration. Brother Bowen, I want those miracles in my life. I'm dealing with some stuff I can't handle myself. I can't handle myself. I can't handle myself. I need the Lord today." Sing a song. Let's gather in. Come on. Come on, let's gather in. Come on, let's get it. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul.